Welcome to Greycast, exploring the world of Greyhawk one podcast at a time. This podcast is all about bringing the classic World of Greyhawk setting to life through Greyhawk creators, Greyhawk lore, Greyhawk streamers, Greyhawk stories, and of course, the vibrant Greyhawk community of gamers. Thank you for tuning in, and let the exploration of Dungeons & Dragons' most classic and revered setting, the World of Greyhawk, begin now.
All right, fellow Greyhawkians, it is Wiley Hobbit and Mateus back with you for another episode of Greycast, and we're going to go back into the kind of the holiday spirit, if you will, not those holidays, because it is more the fall, and we're going to explore the third of the four festival weeks in the Greyhawk calendar, and we're going to be talking about Richfest. And we're actually, by the time this drops, we're definitely a little bit behind midsummer, but you know what, who cares, it's still fresh in our memory. That's right. From our own calendar, so why not, because that was kind of our pledge to our listeners to try and treat each of the four calendar festival weeks somewhere in the neighborhood of when they sort of occur ish.
Yeah,
we'll go with that. So yeah, today, whatever it is Richfest. How are you, Mateus?
I'm fine. Happy I'm sad Rich that Fest. We don't have Rich Longitalos here for Richfest. It sounds like something that would be interesting.
Probably really appropriate. Richfest. Yeah, I see what you did there.
Fest really for good. Rich.
Yeah. Very nice, man. So yeah, Richfest, the third of the Greyhawk calendars. Four festival weeks, and this one's got some real astrological celestial deliciousness in that. Richfest 4 is Midsummer's Night, that's a solstice, and furthermore, so it's like druid time, right? Furthermore, it is the evening of the year when both moons, Selene and Luna, are full. Oh. and there's an eclipse, one of the other. And so, like, talk about your neighborhood lycanthrope having a little get-together, right? All the lycanthropes are out that night. So, and if you're a lycanthrope, that is dynamite. If you're not and you live near them, could be cause for concern. So tonight we're going to talk about Richfest. What do you want to start with it? I mean, this is, again, you know, I think the context for this is we'll drop what fact or canon we know. But I like to kind of talk about it in terms of DM and game usage. Like, how could I incorporate this into my game? And the festivals are kind of neat because they add a lot of color. They add, you know, uniqueness to your story. It's not always murder hoboing and cracking open chests or whatever, you know, or political intrigue or whatever your game's all about. Sometimes it's nice to just spend a session or two, maybe even building a story around one of the festivals that fall during the year. So yeah, Richfest.
You know, as I was reading this in the Richfest section in The Adventure Begins, I couldn't help but be reminded, we went to the Iowa State Fair, and it was the first time. Ooh. I had ever been to the State Fair.
Nice. Do they not have state fairs or provincial fairs in Canada?
No, not that big. No.
The fair is awesome. That's one of my most favorite things in the whole world.
Well, this Richfest, didn't it strike you as like the fair?
Well, I hadn't thought about that, but you're
especially
exactly
especially the guild part. It felt like a fair. Yeah. You know, yeah, it felt like a 4-H presentation.
A lot of the celebrations, especially on Richfest 6 and 7, are like guild and artisan competitions, showcases, exhibits. Yeah. So I hadn't thought about that, but now that you mention it, it most certainly sounds like the fair, because where I come from, and I'm sure in Iowa, and especially if you really want to do something fun, hit a county fair, because the state fair is cool because it's big and huge and spectacular and usually 2-3 weeks. But a county fair, right? Local kids showing off their local 4-H, showing their cattle, sheep, hogs, yep, horses, chickens, bunnies, all that stuff. And of course, fair food. And yeah, so Yeah, I never thought about that, but yeah, I'd say Richfest is as close to a county fair as there likely is in Greyhawk. So that's a great, great comparison. So
why don't we start at the beginning?
Okay, let's start at the beginning.
Start.
Which is what exactly? Like Richfest 1? That beginning?
Yeah.
Okay. So from the resources I've got, and there's just not a ton of stuff, right? You've got the Greyhawk Wiki, there's, you know, Living Greyhawk. A lot of those just give very cursory information. I happened to find a cool blog post by a friend of the show and somewhat frequent guest, Mike Bridges, Greyhawk Mike, on Greyhawkery from 2011. And he treats Richfest around the perspective of Greyhawk City. So we can maybe dive into that. But because Greyhawk City doesn't celebrate the entire week, I also have a resource on Obsidian Portal, and I know we've quoted them before. They talk about the Richfest, the first few days, being used to prepare feasts and just kind of general merriment, kind of a lead up to the midsummer, you know, the solstice, the lunar eclipse. And this is a festival that typically in most locations, based on what I've seen, honors Pelor, right? God of the sun. And, you know, midsummer, there's a lot of sunshine in the summer. And of course, midsummer, that solstice would be the longest calendar day of sunshine, as far as the year is concerned. So it stands to reason that Pelor is the primary worshipped figure. And of course, the old faith of the Flan, that's the highest holy day of Pelor in that faith. So pretty interesting there. But also it notes Lydia, Satillion, and some other gods of summer and light, you know, as would be appropriate, are typically worshipped as far as that goes. And it all builds into the fourth and fifth of Richfest, that midsummer bubble. But day three, I saw Richfest 3, a day of remembrance. And I feel like this is a great spot because general merriment and preparation for feasts doesn't sound like much hastiness, deliciousness for campaign fodder. But right. Boy, a day of remembrance. That sounds like there might be an adventure hook, or, you know, if you've had characters pass, might be a fun way to dredge up the sad, sad emotions of the player who's lost a character. I mean, celebrate the passing of a player character. Twist the knife, as they say, right? But that to me seems like a really cool way to maybe, you know, focus an adventure around a day of remembrance to remember all the dead and fallen, which again has ties back in the ancient plan. It says here in modern times focuses on all the dead, but the tradition with the Flan is it used to be particular reverence was paid to the war dead, those who were civilians lost in wartime, or warriors. And it's, you know, it's meant to be a day of peace, to strive for peace and honor, honoring those who were lost.
And if you wanted to port that to somewhere else, perhaps Great Kingdom-ish or adjacent.
Boy, there's been a lot of lost warriors there. You know, lands where the Greyhawk Wars were quite prolific would be a great place to
and set the, that. And the Iridians worship Pelor under the name of Sol, mm-hmm. S-O-L. Hence, the Solnor ocean, the ocean of the sun. Or something like that. So Pelor is worshipped throughout the Flanus, so that you can put this, that pretty much anywhere.
Yeah, Pelor is definitely one of the big ones, for sure.
I thought it was really interesting that the benevolence mentioned of the Pelor, the clerics of Pelor, mm-hmm. And that everybody in Greyhawk City remembers as a kid or something being helped by a cleric of Pelor at some point.
Yes. Yeah. And that ties into the celebration of this event. Yeah, you're exactly right, man.
Yeah. And I just thought it was really interesting that the Thieves Guild and the Assassins Guild and the Beggars Union all throughout the year, but especially at this high feast, will protect and they will, if you do anything to clerics of Pelor, you are hunted down.
You may just vanish. Yeah.
You vanish. There is some adventure hooks there and player options.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. Too. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. As far as character classes, but yeah, adventure hooks, right? Maybe a priest of Pelor goes missing on the Day of Remembrance, right? Right before Midsummer's Night.
Yep.
And you've been hired by your guild of thieves, or the, what'd you call that? The Beggar's Guild. I thought
the Beggar's cool Union. Too. Yep. Yep. Yep.
Yeah. So does that like bards? Sorry, all you bard fans out there, you know.
That's right.
Little dig at the bards, but yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. I was looking at Greyhawkery, Greyhawk Mike's blog, and this goes back to 2011, which I thought was pretty cool, but he mentions the priests of Pelor on Midsummer's Day at the height of this, their high holy feast day, as you mentioned, which is the only day in the city of Greyhawk and in Free City of Greyhawk that this festival is even celebrated. They do this thing called the processional, capital P, handing out food and healing to those who need it, especially children. Yep. And he says here, at the same time, they shame the well-to-do into donating to the temples, all while under the watchful protection of the guilds of thieves and assassins, many of whom received that kindness from Pelorian clergy as children Richfest's past. So that's exactly what you said. I love that. Man, talk about like character backstory.
Yeah.
You know, I remember as a child, you know, being helped, you know, my mother was ill, you know, and the priest of Pelor came and healed her. And, you know, I've sworn a funny fealty, even though I'm a thiefy thief, to always do right by any clergy of Pelor that I encounter. Kind of a cool bit of backstory there.
That is just rife for backstory right there. Absolutely. So if you're playing a character, you can use this Richfest idea to be part of your backstory. I think it's just a great way to flavor your character.
I think so too. Also, the clergy of Celestion, right, God of the Stars, because of Midsummer Night,
right,
comes into play here with the eclipse. They do a ceremony during the dual full moons, Selene and Luna. And everywhere that I read about Richfest, they describe it as a night of astrological portent and omen and visions and woo, cool stuff. So yeah, the Church of Celestion plays a role in the celebration of Richfest, wherever there might be one, you know, big night. I haven't seen anything specific, but if you're running druids, you could run an interesting Richfest Midsummer's Night in a druid's grove as part of your adventure.
And it says that the druids of Beori, Obadiah, and all of the other gods, they actually kind of start to get along on this one night. They set all their crap aside and they set their crap aside and they join in celebrating the Orth and the Great Palance and this kind of thing. And this is also for druids, this is the best night for druids to collect mistletoe, which they need for spellcasting.
So, imagine, does the mistletoe collected on during the eclipse of Luna by Selene, does that mistletoe perhaps hold special properties?
Yep.
Collected under the light of the eclipse or the darkness of the eclipse, you know. Love it, man. I'm going crazy over here.
Yes. I think there's more player options here too. Like, you can be a character who has been waiting all year for this one night, because there is maybe you're a a worshiper of Celestan, or maybe a cleric of Celestan. Maybe you're some sort of astrologer, astronomer. Maybe he's an NPC in your campaign. Maybe there's some you want to witness the astronomical phenomenon. Maybe there's a hint you want to foretell the future. You have a ceremony or ritual that you need to perform, and this is the only time of year you can do it.
Perhaps a wizard. What is that deity of divinity? You'd think I could remember that. We had a in a game, or maybe that was in the Forgotten Realms. Yeah, I think that was in the Forgotten Realms. But isn't there a wizard of divinity or a god of divinity? So maybe your character is a wizard of that god, and you're trying to tap into the Celestian clergy for help divining this. You know, they're supposed to be. This is the year the great portent of the divine. You know, whatever of this deities to be revealed to only certain wizards who are worthy of its knowledge or something. I'm just making stuff up here, but yeah, the crossplay between different deities and different classes. You know, wizard has to pay cleric of Celestian for this ceremony to be held on this night.
Yeah, and because so many religions kind of play nice on this night, perhaps you're a druid or a cleric, and one of your rival, maybe you have a rival, a nemesis, somewhat a thorn in your side, and he happens to be one of the clerics or druids of one of these other gods, and this is the one night of the year where you have to bite your tongue
and play nice.
I mean, but either a DM or a player could introduce that, and it would be cool. Also, you've already mentioned it. Both for players and DMs, I think it's a great idea. This takes place during the dual full moon.
Right.
That means your werewolves, were creatures, are forced into change this at this time of the year.
Right.
And some of them, if they're evil natured, they go temporarily mad and become extremely dangerous.
Talk about a fun night. Maybe no one knew there were lycanthropes nearby, and this year Richfest 4 they appear.
Yep. And maybe it's a small city. Maybe it's not the big Greyhawk city.
Right. Yeah.
Maybe they only have a few guards.
And
the party.
Yeah.
And so they only have a few guards, and you know, nothing's happened in this city for years. And so what happens? They drink it up, and the town is reveling, and only your party are the only sober ones.
Right.
And you see the werewolves are coming.
And it could even be like a happenstance. You know, you're not there for that purpose. You just happen to be there.
Yes.
Perhaps there's something you've come in to equip yourselves or meet someone, and just so happens that the lycanthropes tonight, you know, are out. The freaks come out at night, as they said in the 80s, right? Mm-hmm. They mentioned two locations, Narwhal and Elmshire
is the halfling
yeah, and apparently and this is of course, you know, drew my interest, the halflings really kick it up in Elmshire for Richfest.
They go the whole week
So there's again another campaign idea right there. And I saw on a Paizo site a breakdown, a discussion of Elmshire. And it turns out in canon, there was back in 585, see why about 40 adult halflings disappeared in separate incidents. Well, and long story short, there was some like an evil Rene family who was part of the Kingdom of Ayuz who was who were trafficking halflings out and taking them up to, you know, somewhere to the north for goodness knows what fell purpose. Well, when the hobbits got all this, or the halflings, excuse me, got all through this and figured out what was happening, there was one halfling, a Perman Merryfoot, who was the local helper for those Rene. And they, let me read this to you, this is crazy. So the halflings that were involved in this scandal were branded, beaten, and exiled as a result. Their lands and possessions were seized for public auction. The ringleader, this Perman Merryfoot, was hanged after a three-day trial. His body was burned to ashes. And since then, the entire town of Elmshire has been completely against the Rene. And the Rene in that community are assumed to be evil unless proven otherwise. So talk about a deep dive lore that you could probably tie to Richfest. Perhaps it's the height of Richfest and a Rene barge pushes ashore in the main dock in Elmshire. And it's like the insert record scratching sound.
That's
what?
That's and I really like Elmshire. Elmshire is like the Greyhawk version of Hobbiton.
Right.
So let's pencil that in to do a show on Elmshire.
I mean, darn, okay, if we must, you know, talking halflings, that would be a shame for us to have to do.
So you have lycanthropes, halflings. Let's talk about those guild days, because boy, there's some good stuff in those guild days. So after
Richfest 6 and 7. Yep.
Yeah. 5 and 6. Yeah, 5 and 6. Working holidays in 5 and 6, where the artisans they prepare many months. This is your Greyhawk 4-H demonstration, where all of the artisans from get all their their best works, jugs, jewelry, clothing, furs, even your barbers and other, you know, doctors and dentists are doing like special teeth pullings, and it's crazy. But so the Thieves Guild is paid considerable protection money to protect these collections overnight. So there's a hook right there. You know, somebody's hired your party to protect this specific MacGuffin item that the poor farmer who's the best artisan in the poor artisan who's the best artisan in the town, and he spent all his year or maybe the last couple of years perfecting this piece of art, and it's gorgeous, and you're supposed to guard it, and maybe it goes missing or something.
And maybe it's just the rogue in the party, the thief in the party, who's been asked. And so the part of this story is the thief trying to convince the party to participate in this.
Maybe the thief in the party has been told to steal it while the whole party has been told to protect it.
Ooh, that's fun. Oh boy. Yeah. Pit party members against each other. But it's for good purpose. You don't understand, you know, and you sow that, like, who's on the up and up here? Is the party being hoodwinked? Is the thief being hoodwinked?
Oh yeah.
Is the thief hoodwinking the party? Maybe the party doesn't know that the thief is the one stealing it, but the thief knows and knows that the party is there to protect it. You know, who knows? Right. Like, oh man, that could get juicy really quick.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Now, the other thing I think is really cool about the guild days is it says that people from all over the Flaness come to these. Divers, Valuna, Verberbonk, Firyundi, the Ernst States, Selene, Keelland, Ulek, even as far as Alyssa, those people, nobles throughout the Flaness come to look at these artworks, pieces of art, and you know, the best cows and all this kind of stuff, and to buy them, to bid on them, because whoever bids on them, they get the gold at the end. Well, that, if you want a spy, campaign, somebody's, you know, somebody says, okay, you know, the Duke of Burgoff from over there in Q-Land, he's here today and he's looking to buy something. You need to insert thing here. You need to listen to what he says, steal the thing out of his pockets, you know, whatever. So there's, you can set this up as a spy thing because there's so many nobles from so many nations. Maybe you're sent to kidnap somebody. Maybe somebody's going to, you know, because there's all these nobles from all these nations here, you can insert any amount of political intrigue here.
Sure. Yeah. Yep. You sure can. Yeah, that is cool. All around a festival. And of course, the chaos of the festival itself can be used to hide your efforts. Or maybe if it's more like the party's there to protect or guard or retake something, the chaos of the event is making it difficult for them. So it's a really great way to incorporate the celebration itself, provide some detail, dig deep into the divine lore, that part of the holiday that we discussed, especially, you know, Richfest 4. I saw in one resource, the fifth day of Richfest is also known in some places as the Heroes of the Keys. And so some communities will celebrate the tales of heroes past, their accomplishments and their challenges and so forth. So that might be a fun way to involve the party. Maybe the party from, you know, three adventures back, you know, has been asked to come back to town. You know, they're going to be given the key to the city or whatever, you know. And honored for, you know, saving the city from the dragon or whatever happened back in your adventure. That could be a fun way to go. And then they stay for the Richfest 6 and 7, the Guild and Artisans competition. Maybe they've been asked to, perhaps you have an artisan in your party or two, you know, the backgrounds they use in 5e, for instance. That's and they've right. been asked yep. to judge an artisan competition, you know, smithy. Competition or jeweler setting, you know, gems and things. I mean, who knows? You could do anything you want with it. How about brewers? Oh, I know Brewfest is a holiday, isn't it?
Yeah.
Or am I thinking of a local festival? West Central Ohio was settled by Germans. Oh yeah, Oktoberfest. That's coming up that's a couple right. weekends. Yeah. But
Brewfest is our next feast after this.
Right. So we'll treat that later. But yeah, so, you know, you could really, there's a lot with this particular festival, I think, that you could involve the party in as Dungeon Master or as a player. You could tie your character's backstory, especially, again, if you're playing one of the classes that's intimately involved, a Great Holy Day, you know, a Paladin of Pelor, Great Holy Day, or a Cleric of Pelor, or a Druid of Obadhai, you know, on Midsummer Night. A Celestian priest. So yeah, the options are really far and wide on this particular, more so I think than some of the other ones we've talked about.
I also like the idea they have. So the guilds, all the guilds get to put in, you know, the winner of each one of these competitions gets the Medal of Zagig.
Oh, that sounds pretty cool.
That probably, yeah, it's worth about 10 gold pieces, with real, you know, with red and blue ribbons. Now, and if you have that in your shop, you know, if you hang the Medal of Zagig in your shop,
that should drive some business, right?
It drives up business the next year. Well, there is a whole counterfeit, Medal of Zagig operation. People continue to try to do it now. People, the what's it called? The sentence for counterfeiting, the Medal of Zagig. Listen to this: maiming, imprisonment, hard labor, and fines.
Wow. See, there's another opportunity. Perhaps someone has discovered an artisan, the artisan who won, you know, for bread making or pottery, whatever it is, right? His Medal of Zagig or her Medal of Zagig is a counterfeit.
That's right.
Who amongst the Richfest organizers provided said medals for award. I mean, boy, oh boy. And so we're going to need wizards, right? Because Zagig, right? Wasn't he like a uber wizard who had that castle and on and on? And then
who had that castle that Troll Games is currently selling?
Right, right. And then Tasha, right? Also known as like the Witch Queen who lived in Paranland. I mean, boy, oh boy, that could go all sorts of crazy, because maybe they took the original non-counterfeit Medal of Zagig for use in some demon summoning ritual thing. You know, Igwilf, that's who I'm trying to think of. I mean, man, talk about fun right there, like more of a high level. Like you have to go, we've discovered you have to go to Igwilf's stronghold up in the mountains. I don't remember which mountain, it's up in Paranland. retrieve the true Medal of Zagig because the baker in town is pissed that his is a counterfeit, and we can't have the baker angry because we need baked goods.
Yeah. But then you also have Narwhal, I should say. And their Richfest is a little different, isn't it? They have a parade because that's their Independence Day.
Right.
Their town founding, I should say.
Right. Founders Day, I think they call it.
And there's a town-wide parade. But because the city's under the control right now of Greyhawk, it's the Greyhawk militia who do the parade. Formerly, it was the Baron's troops. So
that's interesting. Perhaps there's a movement afoot.
Yeah.
To move the Greyhawkian militia out of there. We want our damn city back. Thank you very much.
That could be fun.
And perhaps that's just the day to start to reclaim our city. What better day than Narwhalian Independence Day?
Yep. And it's a fairly riotous day as it is. So, you know, you start a riot.
Would be easy to kick off something significant, wouldn't it?
Yep. It also has a fairly unpleasant xenophobic edge for anybody whose ancestors were not from Narwhal. And so that would absolutely warrant a get these Greyhawk soldiers out of here kind of deal.
Yeah, sure would.
And the elves, if you're in Narwhal during this and you're an elf,
I saw this. Yeah.
That you don't particularly like this because your Narwhal's standard, their flags and banners include tokens from the Gnarly Forest and the Welkwood elves slain in past battles by the town guards and local highwaymen.
Let's celebrate the killing of elves. That's not going to go over well in certain quarters now, is it?
No, and especially if you have elves on your
In your party, yeah. So let me throw another elf wrinkle at you. I think we just coined a gray cast term, elf wrinkle. Because elves, they don't wrinkle, do they? They don't age. Because they're elves. So I was reading in the Obsidian Portal entry, and they have this thing observed on the 4th of Richfest, age-long, it's called. It's the celebration of the legendary creation of the elves. Now, think back to Coralon Larethian, right? According to myth, after he spilled his blood during the battle with Grumsh, the rest of the Sildaren gathered this sacred blood, mingled it with the tears shed by Sahanini Moonbow during that very same battle. Then they infused these divine fluids into the vessels they had created to be the bodies of the elven race. Right, since thus the elves were created. So this day among the elves is, according to this, mostly an excuse to go orc hunting. How about that, right? Talk about xenophobic and all the things that you know, make people crazy nowadays in D&D, right? So elven warriors cut themselves with daggers carved from volcanic glass, right? To remind themselves of Coralon's own wound from Grimsh's spear, and then they strive to slaughter as many orcs as possible during the night. Holy.
Oh,
holy moly.
And there's tons of orcs right there. The Pomarge is right there.
Right, right. Yeah. So, man, talk about just another twist. And again, that comes from an entry on the Obsidian Portal website. I love, there's so much old stuff, you know, out there from that. That's just great campaign fodder. So yet another takeaway DMs on ways to use Rich Fest. Boy, boy, that's a good one. That's a good one. Or, you know, to modernize it, perhaps a group of orcs has done an elven clan a good turn, and they did it on what do they call that again? On Rich Fest 4, celebrated by the elves as age long. Perhaps they righted a great wrong or something in a local clan of elves on that very day, and now the elves are honoring the orcs.
Oh, even better,
you know,
when the rest of the elves go to attack this clan, the elves whom they helped
stand up for them,
stand up to them.
There you go.
That's some good tension right there.
There's a good twist right there. Yeah. Yeah. So, man, so if you're a DM out there, I'm hoping you're like making copious notes around this. And again, there aren't a ton, as we all know, of, you know, resources out there for Greyhawk. It's mostly community stuff, whether it's Living Greyhawk Gazetteer, the LG journals, or you go back to like Greyhawkery, Greyhawk Mike's stuff, Obsidian Portal. But what's out there is good, and all you need to do is twist it and turn it and stick it into your campaign, and then that out of that comes opportunities galore for character options. And particularly if you're playing in 5e, the bountiful plethora of character subclasses and backgrounds and things make it a lot easier to really hook into some of these stories. Not that you can't do them if you're playing OSX or basic or first edition or second, but you have to probably be a little more creative in the narrative part of your backstory versus, you know, aligning any real true mechanics or things with it.
And even then, Old School Essentials has, I think the advanced version, I know for sure the advanced version has it, and I think it's drawn from Tui, but it's a chart of former profession. And it's got things like,
oh, I remember that.
You were a brewer, you were an artisan, you were, well, if you're starting out and even if you have a campaign, you can use whatever class you are.
Right.
Whatever background you have, and you can use that. And if you're playing an old school version like OD&D, 1E, 2E, BX, Beckme, or any of the clones of those systems, you can easily grab that chart if you haven't already had something like that and use it. And say, yeah, in your former life, you were a fisherman.
It's a great way to add color and tie your character to one of those like guild competitions, you know, or perhaps you were an apprentice to a guild person who was murdered or killed, and they never figured it out who, but it was around Rich Fest, and the suspicion was it was one of the competing guildsmen, you know, something like that.
And you know what we're absolutely fundamentally skipping over? Uh-oh. All of the Robin Hood type stuff you can do.
Oh boy, yeah, when he sneaks in and competes in the archery.
Yeah.
Is that what you mean? It sure would.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So if you guys are outlaws and you know, this would be a great thing to pull off, that kind of homage to the old Robin Hood things.
It sure would. Yeah. See what I did there? It sure would. I can't take credit for that. I can't.
That's good.
Do it in good faith. Yeah.
Hate mail can be sent to.
Yeah, to wileyhobbit@gmail.com. So I think we've dropped a lot of stuff here with this. I always find these particular, like the lore ones, you can find some good stuff and then build on it and have a good Greycast discussion. But these holidays have been a little bit challenging because there isn't always a lot of lore. I think this is, of the three we covered now, feels to me like the most content I found to play around with and you know, kind of sparked my imagination. So this has been kind of fun. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I like it too. And this feels like the kind of thing that a DM could throw at his party and trick them into thinking it's downtime. You know what?
Yeah, I love that. Exactly.
Here's your
another festival. Oh boy, you know.
Here's a festival. Think of it's like the county fair, but in the big city. And
right,
you know, you go there, but then you know, maybe you take 5 or 6 of these hooks that that we've played, and you sprinkle them and hint them and see which ones the players bite, and
some of those could really develop into pretty good arcs that would be able to be tied right to character backstory.
Yep.
For sure. So yeah. Cool. Very good. Well, man, we've killed off a good chunk of time here, I think.
Yeah.
Is there any other thought around Richfest?
No, I think it's, I think once again, your primary canonical source for those playing the home game, is The Adventure Begins. I have a POD copy from Drive-Thru.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they still sometimes they take down those PODs, but I know they'll have the
PDF at least.
PDF yeah. At least yeah. Still available. Yeah. And then you mentioned Greyhawkery and the Obsidian Portal site. Greyhawk Wiki didn't have much anything on this one.
No, didn't have a lot on this one. But again, you know, a lot of times I think they do that to leave it up to your own. They give you like the bare seeds. Yep. And then off you go kind of thing. But I also think a lot of games see these and think, oh, festival, let me just nap, downtime, snooze. Oh boy, let's roll the bones and drink beer. Mm-hmm. Because so many times nothing's done with these.
Yep.
Narratively. And yep. I think these are great opportunities to lull your players into that. Like you just said, oh boy, downtime, whoop-de-doo. And then all of a sudden some really great hook.
Yep,
catches right. them, and you know, 18 sessions later and 2 levels, you know, you're that's like, what do you think of that? Cool. You know, really can build a cool story.
We take our hats off to Mr. Moore, who's done most of the Roger Moore here, who's done most of the work on these, these feasts. Done,
yes, yeah.
And the one thing we didn't mention is in The Adventure Begins, we have Richfest as it appears in the city of Greyhawk.
Right.
Then they even give you examples of how it differs in Elmshire and Narwa.
Right.
So yep. If you're placing it in some other town, you can riff off of it and change.
Yeah, it's really a very good jumping off place. Yeah.
You can change up how is Richfest celebrated in small Saltmarsh? Maybe you're playing 5e Saltmarsh. What's different? What's different about it in Saltmarsh or Nurl or wherever you're playing your games?
I like it. All right. Well, that was fun, man. So until we meet again, right? Should be 2 weeks real time for our listeners if all goes well. I don't know that we made a big announcement, but it's pretty crazy to me that we are a couple, 2-3 months into our third season of,
yeah, no,
our third year. And by season, I mean year.
Yep.
Of Greycast. I was thinking about that today. I was out on a walk with Gus the pug and man, this is our third year.
And we're
doing Greycast
for 3 years. We have roughly about 300 listeners. So I'd love to grow that. Hey, if you like this, share out an episode, share it on social medias, talk to about with your Greyhawk pals, share it, spread the word about Greycast so that we can have more players and DMs.
Absolutely.
Enjoying the Gygaxian goodness of Greyhawk.
For sure. Maybe we need to do like a t-shirt or something, like a Greycast t-shirt and hat, you know, coffee mugs. Let's build an empire. Now let's just do podcast.
We should get some swag.
I'm 54. I'm going to be 55 in October. And I keep thinking about retiring. So, you know, if we could build Greycast and stuff into an empire, that I could retire, right? I mean, would you know, that would be cool.
all donations to the Wiley Hobbit Retirement Fund can be sent to wileyhobbit@gmail.com.
There you go. There you go. But yeah, if you would, please forward us. If you like us, forward us out to your friends. And yeah, it's really mind blowing that we're in our third year, two years and about 3 months or so, give or take. And it's still going. I think that's really cool, really fun. And I feel like we've barely doinked Greyhawk. We've barely gotten into, there's just so much stuff and there's so many people in the community that we still have yet to tap into and have on. So keep your eyes out for some more fun guests. All right, well, let's wrap this one. Thanks, everybody, for hanging out with us for this episode. Again, Rich Fest, hopefully you've got some ideas as a person generating a character or as a DM to incorporate this in your game. Mateus, take care of yourself and all the little Mateuses and Mrs. Mateus and all of that. All right.
All right.
Well, be kind and be safe out there, and we'll see you in a couple of weeks on our next Greycast.
You've been listening to the Greycast podcast, where we explore the world of Greyhawk one podcast at a time. Mateus and I are excited to share our passion for the world of Greyhawk with each of you. We'll drop episodes every other Monday featuring all things Greyhawk. Please refer us to all your cool, nerdy Greyhawkian friends and allies, even your most hated enemies at the gate. You can find our podcast on Spotify and be sure to give us a follow on Twitter @Greycast576 to keep up with Greycast. Until next time, remember, it's a dangerous business going out your door. You step onto the road, and if you don't keep your feet, there's no knowing where you might be swept off to.